2-0, so the Brewers still own that game and a half lead in the NL Central over the Cubbies. White Sox lost to the Cardinals 14-2. Tonight, the Brewers play again in Miami. The White Sox host the Cardinals again. It's a day game for the Cubs and the Giants out on the West Coast. Northwoods League Baseball, the Kenosha Kingfish beat the Madison Mallards last night 14-6. The Kingfish play the Mallards again in Madison tonight. Now that WGTD forecast from the National Weather Service for this Wednesday, July 11th. Sunny and warm, today's high heading for 83. 65 tonight, 86 tomorrow. Right now, wind from the north-northeast at 5. 70 degrees Racine, 73 in Kenosha. For WGTD News, I'm Dave McGrath. 8:11, the morning show with Greg Berg up next.
Support for the morning show comes from Carthage College, welcoming approximately 150 full-time transfer students each year. Eligible Gateway graduates can receive guaranteed admission to Carthage to complete their bachelor's degrees. Transfer to a more personalized education in 4 easy steps. More information about admissions and competitive scholarships for transfers is available at carthage.edu/admissions/transfer. Support for WGTD also comes from Jack Andrea, a Kenosha tradition since 1911. Newly reimagined for 2018, a unique shopping experience time and time again, and that's what brings you back. More information at jackandrea.com. And we welcome you to the Wednesday morning show on WGTD. I'm Gregory Berg. It's very nice to be sitting opposite Linda Guttormson-Guy, who is a past president of the Four Seasons Garden Club. And this has turned out to be a lovely midsummer tradition on the morning show to welcome Linda into the studios to talk about the Secret Garden Walk, which is coming up this year, this Saturday, July 24th, between 9 and 3, rain or shine. It amounts to a self-guided tour of 6 beautiful Kenosha private gardens, and we're going to be talking about the array of gardens that is part of this year's event and where you can purchase your tickets. This is the major fundraiser for the Four Seasons Garden Club. And Linda, we welcome you back to the morning show.
Well, thank you, Greg. It's always a pleasure to be here, and I'm happy to be your lovely midsummer break here, but you were probably talking about the garden walk.
Right, so. There you go. Right. No, it's very good to be able to talk about this lovely event. And one of the things I wanted to ask you about is just to say a quick word about the Four Seasons Garden Club itself. What's sort of the heart and soul of the mission of the Four Seasons Garden Club? What do you do and why?
Well, we are a collection of ladies and gentlemen who enjoy gardening. The club has been in existence since 1963, so I don't have to tell you that it's been through a few changes since then. We no longer wear hats and white gloves to our meetings. I just want to put that rumor aside. But we are We are a service club. We're a nonprofit, and our mission, our charter indicates that any fundraising that we do, any funds that we draw from the community to support our different activities, those monies earned from the community go back to the community. So, you know, if we choose to have a party to celebrate ourselves after this garden walk, that's going to come from our dues. That's not going to come from the proceeds from the garden walk. Proceeds from this event and from our annual plant sale, which is held either the end of May or the first part of June, they're dedicated to things like, primarily scholarships. That takes a big chunk of our donations, our charitable donations, scholarships for horticulture students in particular. And in fact, we've done work with Gateway for a number of years. It supports the plantings and maintenance at our Margaret Meyer Garden that we maintain down at Kemper Center, and more about that later. We've done repeatedly through the years land preservation at Shewaukee Prairie. As they grow the prairie and and such, we've been a part of that. Arbor Day plantings, Earth Day activities. We donate. We've got horticulture books that we have donated to the library system in Kenosha. Those lovely baskets that decorate downtown. One of those has our name on it every year, one or two, and I think we've got two of them down there somewhere this year. The Kenosha Dream Playground, and we've worked with various schools, particularly on those Arbor Day plantings. We frequently, we always plant a tree, and it's become more and more frequent that we'll do it on one of the school properties, which is fun because we involve the kids in the planting. Everybody gets to turn a little trowel of dirt and make the supreme effort there.
Right.
But then, you know, there's other community things that come and go. Right now, the St. Matthew's, the Lakefront Elder Garden is something that we're supporting. And the Hillcrest School has an arboretum they're developing. Doesn't get a lot of press, but we're kind of working behind the scenes with that. And Down to Earth Community Garden, of course, they were a recommended stop on our tour last year. You get people interested in that. So that is, it varies from year to year, and there will be other causes that we'll support. We work on a grant system. If you go to our website, there's information there on scholarships, grants, there's applications, and ways to get in touch with us and get a little bit more information about what we might be able to help you out with.
Excellent. So a busy group, and of course, on top of all of that, all of you to one extent or another are yourselves gardeners, and yes, gardening is important to you, so you're busy doing that as well. I mean, each of you with your respective gardens to varying degrees.
Please don't ask me about the condition of my own garden this year.
So your garden is not on the Secret Garden Tour this year.
No, that was always a dream, but you kind of have your choice. Do you want to develop the garden tour, or do you want to develop your garden? And my garden, unfortunately, has suffered the there will be collateral damage,
dear.
And it's at my address.
Right. So what has this been? What kind of a year has it been? What kind of a spring and early summer in terms of gardens in the area? Has it been an okay year?
Well, it looking at it from my point of view, I can actually anecdotally, I stopped into a garden center yesterday to pick up a couple of odds and ends to, you know, fill in some planting, and I was stunned to see that everything was so ridiculously picked over. Well, actually, that is what happens after the 4th of July. Everything, you know, they're not getting new stock in and such. But I had been so bound up with it being a late season, and it was late initially, but it all of a sudden, you know, then there was some heat, and then there was some rain, and everything kind of caught up. I was a little bit behind the program, I'm afraid, but it started slow. It started cool. It started a little dreary, a little rainy. It's Wisconsin.
Yeah,
you
right.
Know, June, you don't know what you're going to get in June. We didn't have an ideal June, but it toward the end of the month. I mean, things picked up at the end of the month, and plants want to grow.
Yeah.
Darned if they didn't.
Yeah. So that bodes well for this weekend's Secret Garden Walk, then.
It certainly does. Yeah. The gardeners have been, I mean, the homeowners and such, and our own crews have been working very hard these last few weeks. And there's always that for the homeowners, you know, there's always that pressure. When you get a little bit closer to the date, then you start looking a little more critically around and realize that, oh my goodness, I need one more coleus to fill in that spot right there or whatever. And everybody goes through those last week's panics, but from what we've seen, everything looks great. And we've talked before, we initially view a lot of these gardens in August, September, even into October. So what we see then is sometimes very different from what we end up seeing in July. And there have been some lovely surprises this year, most all years. You know, you tour a garden in the end of September, and it's a story that's titled Imagine If You Will.
Right.
You know, there's
it's in its twilight, generally speaking, at that point.
You know, well, in June, you know, in July there would be and there should be, and next year there will be. But a lot of that's in your mind's eye, and we've gotten used to that. You know, you see the good bones of a garden, and you see the enthusiasm of a gardener, and you see what is, you know, and there are gardeners who love doing a fall garden. We've had some beautiful fall gardens that we've looked at too. Well, that's probably a gardener who does a good job throughout the entire season.
Sure.
So, you know, we've learned to recognize the quality that's, you know, beneath the leaves, perhaps, at that point.
We're speaking with Linda Gratormson-Guy about the Four Seasons Garden Club's Secret Garden Walk, which is coming up this Saturday between 9 and 3. And it's an opportunity to tour, in this case, six gardens, most of them private gardens of homeowners, gardens that would otherwise not be particularly visible as you drive past or even walk past. But it has been arranged for these gardens to be open to the public and for people to enjoy them in a way that would otherwise not be possible. And Linda, I think by now we don't have to belabor this point, but we should still probably touch on the point that the Secret Garden Walk each year tends to be, in a sense, kind of a neighborhood kind of thing. That is, you will choose a particular part of town and try to, since this is for the most part, you know, a walking tour, you like to try to choose gardens that are relatively close together. And that has a lot to do with the gardens that end up on each tour.
That's absolutely true. We've learned over the years that people like a garden walk, literally. They love it when there are homes that are close enough that they can park their car once and hit, you know, three or four locations. It's not always easy. It's not always a plan. So very frequently, it just kind of comes together. We've got, you know, one garden here, and that gardener knows of another garden that's down the block and around the corner. And so it develops from there. It's not always something that you can plan logistically. And we will look at, now last year, for instance, we looked at gardens that were nowhere near the gardens that were showing on the tour this year. Those gardens we kind of held in reserve because we may be back in Carroll Beach next year. But Carroll Beach was a little too far distant from others that we already had lined up for the tour this year. So, we're always trying to keep a few in our pocket for future use. But we have tried to be as sensitive as possible to the challenges of squeezing everything into a few hours on a single day. And the garden guests seem to enjoy that approach.
Very much. It works just great. How many of these garden walks have there been? At least roughly.
17 by my count.
Hmm.
That may be up for argument. And we've got to do a little research on that because that question comes up frequently. But it appears that 17 is the number. So
you pretty much have this down to a science by now. And
we've
really
learned a lot over the years.
Sure,
Greg.
Absolutely.
It changes. Every year there's something that we might adjust because of, something that we learned, experienced, or God forbid, got a complaint about last year. So
let's talk about the gardens that are specifically comprising this year's Secret Garden Walk. And we're going to begin with a garden that's actually kind of outside the definition. It really isn't a secret garden whatsoever, although it's probably a garden that plenty of people have not taken the time to actually explore. And so for the first time officially, the Margaret Myers Memorial Garden at Kemper Center is part of the Secret Garden Walk. And this is something that is created and maintained by the Four Seasons Garden Club. Tell us more about it and about who Margaret Myers was.
I never knew Margaret Meyer personally. She was a charter member of the club and a past president from years gone by. Now, and she's been gone for quite some time. But the garden was initially established in her memory, it was this is space down at Kemper Center. I will say this is a. It kind of straddles the line. It's basically a public garden. It is public space. The whole Kemper Center complex is owned by the county and available all the time to county residents and anyone else. But it is privately maintained by the garden club. So it's kind of our space, you know. And Kemper has been very generous through the years, just allowing us to do whatever suits us, whatever makes it look pretty. Innumerable brides and wedding parties have been photographed in the garden. It's a popular space for people to meet or gather. We purely by accident learned a couple years ago that there was a ukulele club that meets down at the Margaret Meyer Garden in the summer. And there are benches for seating and such. And the whole ukulele gang was down there practicing and entertaining. And we were pulling weeds, and we enjoyed the heck out of it. So I don't know if those folks are still meeting down there, but it was a lovely surprise. Huh. And you'll find things like that as you tour. But this is on the south side of the Kemper Center complex, at the back of that parking lot that is next to the gymnasium. And the back of the garden kind of backs up against the lake. But like you say, we've encouraged people to stop by the garden over the years, but this is the first time we're making it an official stop on the tour.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
the
best part about this stop, though, I've got to say, you don't have to pay for this one. You don't need a ticket to the garden walk.
Mm.
So this is the little freebie that we're throwing out there for people who maybe have never done a garden walk before. this a little taste of what, you know, what the rest of the walk might be. And if you then choose to buy a ticket and take the rest of the walk, that would be terrific. We'd love to see you this year or next.
One thing I want to ask you about in terms of the summary and the lovely booklet is that it says, maintaining the Margaret Myers Garden is one of three 100% member participation projects for the club. What does that mean? Oh, and you're looking like you don't know what that means.
No.
Does that mean that the hope is that every single member of the Four Seasons Garden Club has a hand in the maintenance
yes.
of this club, of this garden?
Yeah, the Margaret Meyer Garden is an obligation that we have, you know, we've taken on, that, you know, we have an agreement with Kemper that, you know, we will maintain this. And in order to do that, it doesn't, you know, it takes more than just a handful of garden members. It's not just a committee. It really requires the dedication of the whole club. And we do that by setting up teams, dividing the club members into teams, and each team has assigned weeks through the summer on a rotation. Mm-hmm. So nobody is being overburdened with work down there. I do have to say, though, that the two ladies who have been chairing the work down at the garden this year have there's no other way to say it, they have busted their fannies and really done a fabulous job of not only supervising the planting and the maintenance, but ensuring that the crews are down there and really putting out our best foot forward on this year. That's that's Jackie Schroeder and Pat Morse are the two ladies who've really been driving that this year. And our Liz Dutton is always our source of horticulture advice too. Liz has been playing a prominent role down there, so I do need to do a little shout out to them because they've driven this year. They're a good part of the reason this is a part of the tour.
Very good. So again, this beautiful Margaret Myers Memorial Garden, which is always open to the public and situated in such a lovely locale on the grounds of Kemper Center, is officially part of this year's Secret Garden Walk, which is a Saturday.
Which means that there will be members down there to answer questions, to point out specific things, to give a little bit of the history, to just generally, you know, be the hostesses, if you will, at that location. And as we do at all the other all the locations on the tour, there will also be a planter being raffled at that site. So that makes it complete in Kenosha's eyes. If there's a raffle, it's the real deal.
Right. Very good. So that's, again, a part of Saturday's Secret Garden Walk. Let's talk about the other gardens that are on the tour this year, and looks like some lovely things are being offered up. Let's start first with this Secret Garden on Fifth Avenue by Helen and Art Rodrigue.
Yes. It's a lovely primarily shaded garden, and as Helen notes in what she wrote for the description here, it was they have not lived in the house all that long, and when they moved in, they did not realize everything was pretty overgrown. Did not realize the bones that were laid out in the garden, and by bones here I'm talking the hardscape, patios and patio space and stonework and such that were a little bit buried under old debris, and they started clearing things away, and discovered that, you know, there were the remnants of an older Alder Garden, and which, I mean, this garden is in Allendale, and this these stories happen in the older neighborhoods all the time. But what they found was something that they could really work with, and they have developed it based on the hardscape that they were gifted along with the that came with the house, and a little bit unexpected. So that's that. And again, like I said, that this is not a it's a new garden, or it's an old. Let's say it's an old garden that's new again. You know, there were things that they were able to rescue from years gone by, and then a lot of new plantings that they've added. So it's a combination of old and new, and it's just a lovely kind of a restful area, I think.
Sounds lovely. I'm very intrigued by the garden of Harry and Maggie Benn. The title, I love the titles you've come up with, All Aboard the Garden Express, because there is the presence of some kind of model railroad in the midst of this garden. What a great idea.
This is a garden that has, this is not a garden that happens to have a railroad. This is a railroad that happens to have a garden. This is a small space, city lot. And the entire backyard is devoted to the railroad system, and he has. I am not railroad educated here, but for our listeners who are into railroads, and I've learned that there are plenty of them out there. In fact, there is a model railroad society. It's fairly active in Kenosha here. But this is a two-track O-gauge garden railroad. Now, that means specific things to railroad people. And to me, it means little tiny railroad.
Right.
Running throughout the garden. And it is it's astounding what he has done here. Mr. Benn is a railroad aficionado, and he has dedicated this space to it. There, like you said, there are two tracks. There's little side tracks. The last time we visited, there were three trains running, and bridges and water features and plantings that are scaled to be appropriate to the size of the. Of the trains, and it's quite amazing. I mean, you can stand in the center of this oval, and there's just always something to see, to watch, who knew that it was there? Well, actually, who knew it was there? Well, the Kenosha News knew it was there. This is one of the sources that we have for finding gardens. There's the news did a little feature on the garden a couple of years back, and that was, you know, one of those things we put in our back pocket and save for later. So there they are on the tour this year.
Wonderful. What a wonderful idea. And it's also one of those things that's like, why hasn't someone thought of this before?
Well, I'll tell you, these are trains for grown-ups. This is not child's play, so to speak.
Yeah.
Anybody of any age can really appreciate what he has done there. You walk in there and it's a little Disneyland experience.
Fantastic.
Fantasyland.
I love the story behind Michael Breen's garden. Yes. He lives down on Third Avenue. Your headline is Shaped by Storm and Shovel. He tells us here that he moved into his home in 2011, the same day as that ferocious storm came in with those really strong straight-line winds and uprooted all kinds of trees all along the lake shore.
Yeah.
I was on the campus of Carthage at the time and witnessed two trees uprooted by this terrible, terrible wind. And, of course, it Kenoshans will remember vividly that day. What a day to move into Kenosha.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that was the storm that that prompted some re-landscaping, redesign down at the Margaret Meyer Garden, I will tell you. So, Kemper Center in general took a major hit in that storm. So, when he gave us that description of his garden, I knew exactly what he was talking about. But Mr. Breen is a landscaper. This was unfortunate, but from a landscaper's point of view, it was also a little bit of a gift. It gave him, you know, somewhat of a blank canvas to work with, and he has, again, in a small space, managed to include all of his favorites that you know he has worked with over the years. He has. As any professional landscaper would do, has put great effort into making sure that there is something in bloom at all times. This is one of those gardens that no matter what time of year you show up, there's going to be something that's going to be fabulous and just knock you over. And he has he's used every bit of space to the to the absolute maximum, and who can say no to a landscaper's garden?
Yeah, sounds fantastic. And what a great story. Then there is the garden of Pat and Gay Morse, and this headline is a grand plan for a small space, and it really underscores the fact that when one is resourceful and creative, you can do spectacular things even with a relatively small space.
Exactly. I think, you know, part of the challenge is restraining yourself. You know?
Yeah.
As any gardener will tell you, you know, you want one of everything every time you walk into the garden center. And with a small space, you have to be a little bit judicious and determine what's going to work best for you, what's going to work with everything else that you've got. I mean, it's probably no different than any other space, but you have to be more selective, and it gives you a different set of challenges. You can have the challenge of just filling, oh my gosh, what am I going to fill that large space with? But with a small space, then you've got to you've got to show off your expertise, your knowledge of what's going to work with something else, because you don't have a half an acre to dedicate to. I'll get to that later. It's all right there. It's all right in front of you.
Exactly.
And that's something. In fact, the name Pat Morse might sound familiar because that is our club member who also has grabbed a hold of, taken charge of, worked hard on the Margaret Meyer Garden.
Very good. One of the things that jumped out at me in this description is when they mention that they've lived other places but returned to Kenosha in 2009, and they mention that a collection of grasses have traveled with them from state to state. So in other words, they've in various places where they've lived and had a garden, one of the things they've always taken with them is some of the varieties of grasses that have been part of their previous gardens. What a wonderful idea.
Well, and you hear that so often. You know, when you would admire a plant in someone's garden and you learn that it was something that they brought from their mother's garden when mom sold the house, or something that came from mom's garden because mom brought it from grandma's garden, and things like that. But so frequently people will have favorite plants, and the people move, and by golly, the plants are going to move along with it because I've always loved that thus and such.
Yeah.
So, it's not unusual, and it, you know, it, like you said, it's a little bit, it's heartwarming too, that people will establish a new home and bring a piece of, you know, what they loved along with them. And all of a sudden, you know, the new home feels a little bit more like home.
Like they brought a little bit of something with them. And
exactly.
So that's quite intriguing. And then our sixth and final garden,
yes.
Very intriguing as well. Tell us about this garden, which is something very out of the ordinary. The headline, well, Zen, Peace, and Enlightenment.
It's not. The garden itself is out of the ordinary. The way that we managed to put this together with the fine folks at Colerchet is out of the ordinary. The story just kind of fell together. You'll see, you know, in the last the private homes that we've been talking about here, these are all relatively small spaces, and it appeared that was the way this tour was going to develop. A couple of these homes we had talked to, you know, a year earlier and such, and it looked like this tour was going to be the celebration of the small space. And then along came Colerchet. This is the Colerchet Conference Center's garden that is, it's located behind the building. And let me set the physical scene for this, too. This is a conference center and office complex that's located on 67th Street, the west end of Forest Park, just off of Green Bay Road. And this is a place that the building itself is set back from the road. There is a parking lot. There is what appears to be a gated entrance. And ever since the place was built in, I believe, what did they say, 2009? It's just about 20 years old. It was earlier than that. It was 1999, I believe. Okay. 19, yeah, Linda never could do math, could she? Okay. But ever since it was built, there people will drive by and wonder what's on the other side of those mysterious gates. There's very few people who've had the opportunity to be behind that gate unless they were part of a conference that was held there, a team-building event, unless they have, you know, contact with someone who has office space there in the building. Because for the near 20 years, they have maintained a very private environment, and the grounds are not open to the public. They do, like I said, they do hold business meetings and team events and that sort of thing there, but they do not rent out to any social events, so. The mystery continues. What's behind the gate? And what's behind the gate is this very Asian-style office complex. And behind the very Asian-style office building is this two-acre Zen garden. The owner of the property, the owner of the whole complex, has an extensive Asian collection, art and artifacts and such, and is very in tuned with that culture, and established the conference center as a place for. Like I said, conferences, quiet contemplation, that sort of thing, and there a lot of that is described in the write up that they gave us, and in fact there's a lot in the write up that talks about the concepts of Zen gardening and Japanese gardening and such in general. Some of the elements that you'll see in the garden. In fact, there were things just reading the write-up. I learned quite a bit about Japanese gardening, Zen gardening, and the concept that most Western cultures have of balance. We think symmetrical. Mm. You know, you put a tree on this side, you put the same tree over there on that side. Boom, you're balanced, you're symmetrical. That's not the approach in the Zen garden. Mm. Balance is very much a part of the thinking, but symmetrical is not how balance is created.
So it's a more sophisticated notion of how balance is achieved.
Very sophisticated, exactly. And so there's notes here about, you know, different things. excuse me. There is some stonework, some statuary in the garden itself, but it's primarily the plantings, the winding paths, the like I said, the balance that's created through placement and detail. There is a crew that maintains this. Anywhere from four to six people are there at least once a week maintaining this. Is a gentleman out of Racine by the name of Jerry Nelson, who's well known to anybody who's in the gardening and horticulture scene in Racine, who is currently in charge of the design work and such there, and he brings a crew in. There's a full-time gardener there in addition to Jerry's crew, and Jerry Nelson will be on site on the day of the walk to discuss Zen gardening and the concept and the development and such with anybody. And there will be people from Colerger there. And there will also be a sprinkling of garden club members around to direct people and probably not answer so many questions as to direct people to the people who can answer those questions.
Right.
Because some of this is very detailed and
very out
of
the ordinary
too.
Yeah.
So
how big a garden are we talking about?
This is 2 acres.
Wow.
Yeah.
So this really does blow your theme out of the water, doesn't it, about small spaces?
Yes, exactly. Huh. Exactly. Like I said, and then along came Colerger. And actually,
you were telling me before we went on the air that they actually approached the Four Seasons Garden Club.
They did. And we were stunned. We were thrilled. And we thought it was a fabulous idea. They initially came to us suggesting that they may be an adjunct to last year's tour. Well, at the time they came to us, we were already the tickets were at the printers. We were ready to go, and we didn't see this as an adjunct to the tour. We saw this as the centerpiece of the tour. So starting probably last, it would have been April or May, probably last year, we have been working with the people at Colerger, and developing this, and they've gotten so involved in the process. It's really been interesting to work with them because, like I said, it's in their near 20-year history, it's never been open to the public before.
Wow.
So this is a big deal for us.
Yeah.
And they're having fun with it too.
Sure, a win-win for sure.
Absolutely.
So as people drive down Green Bay Road, mm-hmm. this is south of 60th Street between 60th and 75th. Is this something that you see easily from Green Bay Road, this Colerger?
No.
Okay.
You don't. There's another, it's not right on the corner of Green Bay and 67th Street. Mm. There's another office building that occupies that corner space. So But as soon as you get to the light there by the Red Robin and the different shopping complexes there, but the light at Red Robin, if you go east there, and immediately then on your left, you'll see these gates that are I'm trying to remember if there is some signage there, but it's very discreet. So it has heightened the mystery, over the years. But
well, what a special treat to have something like that as part of your secret garden walk. And in some ways, I love the fact that in some ways the bookends of your tour this year are this Colleger garden that has been especially secret, and then the Margaret Myers garden at Kemper, which is in no way
secret at all.
Right. And then some of these private homes on top of it.
Yeah, it is ironic that, that those two extremes do kind of book then the tour this year. We have, we've done private homes. We've done nothing but private homes through the history of the garden walk. But I do have to say, maintaining a garden presents the same challenges whether it's a private space or a public space, and all those things that you and I have talked about through the years when we've talked about the garden walk. We've talked about something for everybody, and we've talked about how gardens go through evolutions and they go through changes, and Lord knows we've seen that down at the Margaret Meyer Garden. You get 35 club members all offering opinions, and there's going to be changes through the years. There have been changes at the Kohler Garden too. There were, at one time there was a very large pond feature. Well, that has evolved now, and there's that area has been treated differently, and all within the confines of the Zen philosophy and such. So, as we toured the gardens, and we were learning things that had been changed and modified and adjusted, and then Mother Nature comes in and ruins all your plans anyway with a giant storm down in Allendale. That sort of thing. And it a large or small, public or private, there's always going to be the same kind of challenges, maybe on a different scale.
Sure. And that's part of what makes all of this so fun, and to see what people have done, whether it's working with a really small space or building a garden around a zero-gauge model railroad. I mean, what could be more fun? So, as usual, the Secret Garden Walk offers all kinds of delights. We want to tell people that the tickets that are $8 in advance or $10 the day of the tour are available for purchase at Jack Andreas, an underwriter of this program, Sunnyside Florist and Gifts, Stein's Garden and Homes, Anton's Greenhouses and Garden Centers, A Summer's Garden Florist, Milliger's, Westosha Floral, and Balm's Flower in down in Gurnee. So you've really got you've touched on all kinds of different garden centers in the area.
And Milliger's specifically at the Sturtevant location
on Highway 11. So. And the booklet that we've been reading from is what you are handed when you purchase your ticket, and that is in a sense your admission ticket for all of the gardens. And otherwise, can they be purchased on the tour as well?
Absolutely. Yeah. Tickets are available at each stop on the tour.
On Saturday.
And then your question is, well, how do I know what stops or what the addresses are? And as if you go to our website, you will get a listing of the gardens, the addresses, and like I said, tickets. We call it Ticket and Garden Guide because there's a little map on the back that answers the basics, and the descriptions that we've been referring to are all written by the homeowner, by the gardener, by the gardeners themselves.
Excellent. So, and that website address is Four Seasons Garden Club. That's the numeral four.
Exactly.
FourSeasonsGardenClub.org.
Org.
Linda Guttormson-Guy, a past president of the Four Seasons Garden Club and one of the movers and shakers of the Secret Garden Walk. It's been great to talk with you and look forward to being to people turning.